Win £75,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Thank you very much for joining us for an episode of the From the Horsemouth podcast, where we look ahead to the weekend racing. Rory DeLarge, Ruby Walsh with myself, Patrick Kennelly, heading into a bitterly, bitterly cold weekend. Fingers crossed it all goes ahead. We're going to operate under the assumption that it does, and we're actually going to have a look at both Friday and Saturday, as well as a sneaky look ahead to Sunday. First things first, the pleasantries. Rory DeLarge, how are you?
I am very well, thank you.
That'll do.
I'd have been slightly better if Engrave had just won the 4:30 at Chelmsford City, but I can't complain too much.
What price?
In the end, about 9-4, but I was on at 11-2 each way. So
no, well, I see.
No damage done, but it has okay. Hit the frame. Yeah.
Oh, 11, another 11-2 into 9-4 shot.
Jeez, yeah, I know. It's terrible, isn't it?
Oh my God, Ruby Walsh, where are you in the world?
I'm in Cheltenham.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Can you give us a ground update on Thursday evening?
No.
Were you actually at the track today?
I was not. I was in London, and now I'm in Cheltenham. And to be honest with you, PK, it's under covers. So
yeah,
whether it's on or it's off, it's not going to have a massive impact on my life anymore. So I shall wait for the inspection in the morning.
he's a very, what's the word? Not methodical. But philosophical nowadays is our Ruby Walsh. Very philosophical about all
I
these
don't
things.
Have to think, should I be trying to get to Bangor or Doncaster if it's off, or can I get back to Navan on Saturday? So, and even Sunday, will I be in Punchestown or Cork? It doesn't really matter anymore, PK. Wherever I am.
There's some lovely shopping to be done in the centre of Cheltenham.
That I will up the promenade. Not be doing there, Rory.
you got your Christmas shopping done, Ruby?
I haven't. I have not. But, no,
well,
not planned on spending sterling, tell you the truth.
Well, I've got a Christmas present for the ages. We have free tickets for the Paddy Power Chase Day at Leopardstown on the 27th of December. For you, our lucky listener, to win, all you got to do is the usual stick, lads. Just quote tweet any tweet around this show, or indeed write your own tweet, but make sure you put a link into the show. Use the hashtag FTHM and you'll be in the draw for tickets on the 27th of December at Leopardstown on Paddy Power Chase Day. Always a cracking day. And also, don't forget, Paddy's Pick 5 is back. Fingers crossed. This Saturday, we've got 5 races to go through. There at Navan and Cheltenham, assuming they all go ahead, and we'll rattle through those races later on in the card. 75 grand in the pot, free to play, absolutely free to play. And you can bag yourself the full whack or even a share of it. Right, let's get stuck into Friday first, gentlemen, at Cheltenham, which I think, by the sounds of things, is the more likely of the 2 days to go ahead. Right, the 150 is the Mayor's Handicap Chase. We've lost the Cross Country Chase, which we're going to talk about that race, but with no cross country race until the actual festival, actually, at the track. But anyway, 150, it's 2.5 mile handicap chase. It's for mares, which means Rory DeLarge is delighted. 4-1 favorite as we record on Thursday evening, Hawthorne Cottage. Marta de Motta 7-2, 11-2 Electric Andy, 13-2 Gazette Bourgeoisie, and Her Indoors and Sixes Bar. Rory, you love these races restricted to mares and fillies, so off you go.
I do. At least the handicap chase gives me slightly more chance. There tends to be a fair degree of form, more form on offer. Lots of pace in this race, it seems to me. And although you'd normally want to be reasonably handy on the chase course at Cheltenham, they might go a little bit too hard here, which would be a concern. And that makes the value in the race, although she'll not be getting into it until late in the day. Madeira Mist, I think it's 16s with Paddy Power. I can see her plugging into the frame at that sort of price. She's not the likeliest winner. I don't think she will win this. She has won at Cheltenham before, but over 3.25. That was in April, the final meeting of the season there. She was disappointing last time out, but that was in a big field contest, the Andrew Mallam Lifetime in Racing Amateur Riders event at the October meeting. 20 runners would not make it easy for her with her run style. So I put a line through that. I think she can sneak into third or fourth, and you'll be getting hopefully paid out on your win bet. In your each way bet.
Yeah.
In terms of winning the race, again, I would have preferred it if there weren't so many front runners in the contest. But I thought a likely improver here, unfortunately the market tells this story already because she's shortened up, is Electric Annie for Robert Wolford. Now, Robert Wolford doesn't have a huge string. They tend to do better over fences than over hurdles. And he had a double the other day at Fontwell with Epop Des Engrais and Foxborough over fences. Horse is running really well at the moment. Electric Annie was beaten quite a long way on her chase debut, beaten 32 lengths behind Tweed Skirt. But she needed that run. Shaped a lot better than the distance she was beaten by. And she definitely would have been my selection in this race if I thought she was going to get a reasonably easy time up front. She didn't lead at Kempton, in fairness, but she tends to lead. She was a winner twice over hurdles at Wincanton when making much of the running. And I would fancy her to improve enough to go close to winning this. But the shape of the race means I'm probably going to play small each way on Madeira Mist, who probably will never show with a chance, but will run on up the hill as a few of these fade.
Yeah, you could go place only, of course. Is that ever an option that tickles your fancy?
It rarely does. I mean, theoretically, it does. But when you tend to, because of the nature of how betting works, the place terms are often a lot more generous than taking a place-only price. So if I fancied one that I thought, it's not really going to win, we'll back it each way, I'll often look to find something else with a similar profile and do the each way double, getting the best of your place terms then.
That's an interesting angle. Ruby.
This PK equates to a 90 to 116 handicap chase in Ireland. I find it hard enough to decide which is the best horse when we're talking about good horses that are low when we're talking about ones this far down the food chain, and I simply don't have an opinion.
You tired, Ruby?
No, I'm not. But okay. I looked at this. I'd say I spent 35 minutes looking at this in the train and then realised, why am I still looking at the first race? We have three or four more to talk about. It's okay not to have a bet.
We're probably about 25.
We haven't got to Doncaster yet.
We've got about 25 races. You managed to get a train. Well done. I'm hearing stories that trains are hard to get by in the UK at the moment.
Not this week. They're okay today. It could be pretty shocking next week. And I believe the airport staff are going to strike over Christmas as well. So anybody commuting through the UK, the very best of luck to you with that one. Broken Britain. It's just broken Britain.
Oh, dear. The days of you sitting in Dublin Airport at 4 a.m. on Stephen's Day and getting ready to
that
get the flight.
That won't happen either.
Yeah, that's gone. That's gone. Lucky for you. Let's move on to the 225, which is the aptly enough Racing TV handicap chase on Racing TV Commodore for Charlie Deutsch and Venetia Williams, who has hit form now. 7-2, 9-2 for under supervision. Eva's Oscar's 11-2, as is Captain Catastock. Who was tipped up a few times last season. 6-1, Nassalam for Gary and Jamie Moore, and 7-1, Switch Hitter. All right, Ruby, did you manage to get your this is a pretty decent race. Did you manage to get this one off, though?
Yeah, Commodore won it last year, PK, when he beat Mr. Fogpatches by 15 lengths. He 10 stone, he's back on that occasion. He has to carry 12 stone tomorrow. He's a 10-year-old. His last run was in the Grand National. And obviously, Venetia and Charlie Deutsch can do no wrong. But I just thought, up 11 pounds and with top weight, it was a different agenda for Commodore tomorrow afternoon. And I kept getting drawn back. I was trying to make a stronger case for Captain Catastock, trying to rule Rudders out, others out, to fancy Captain Catastock. But I kept getting drawn back to under supervision. He's only a 6-year-old. He can definitely be a better horse than he was last season. He's a couple of decent runs. He fell on a novice chase here in November last year between 300 through 5. He was third to Corrie Grambler at this meeting last year over 3 miles and one in a novice chase. He beat Mr. Monarchy at Doncaster. He had a poor run here behind Captain Catastock at the end of the season. Long year for a horse that was 5, raising 6. I just think at his age, he can still be on the improve. I'm going to take a chance on him.
It could be a big weekend for connections. Of course, got a big chance in the international. Rory?
Well, I boiled it down to the same two horses. And I had similar thoughts about under supervision last season to those expressed by Ruby. He was only a youngster and pretty raw last year, and I thought he showed sparks of promise when often thrown into the deep end in tough races most of the season. But I think it might be significant that the one really good run from him last season was when he was taken away from Cheltenham. Most of his runs were over fences were at Cheltenham, and he ended up disappointing in his final start. But he put it all together when winning the Grimthorpe at Doncaster. And I just wonder whether he might be getting a bit of an aversion to this track. But as Ruby says, I think, you know, with a break and the fact that he is 6, rising 7, he could easily take his form forward this season. He's a horse I'd definitely like to back if the signs are good. But just just a little bit put off by the fact that it's, you know, it tends to be Cheltenham and he might just be getting sick of the sight of the place. But if he's going to go forward this season, you'd expect to see him do something first time. But I'm still with Commodore. I mean, I take Ruby's point that he's higher in the weights now. He won this in really good style last year. I was with him in this race last season. He was coming off a break and a wind operation, which is a great double for Venetia Williams. The strike rate is very good. This came reasonably shortly after, of course, she won the Hennessy with a horse who'd also had wind surgery and was coming off a break. And Commodore won this really, really nicely last year. I thought it was a stronger race last season than it is this as well. He went head to head with Santini and beat that one off a fair way from home, and then was too strong for Mr. Fogpatchers. He was definitely well handicapped. Courtmaster was a winner in his next start as well, but Commodore didn't put a foot wrong. His jumping was superb all the way around. And if you got back to him at reasonable morning prices, you were on very good terms with yourself, I seem to recall. I think if he runs the same race again, I think it'd be hard to beat. The fact that he's coming off the layoff that he is not an issue. And although 142 is you know, fairly much as high up the handicap as he really wants to be, I think he will be at his best first time out, and I think it'd be hard to beat here.
Lovely. Okay, one for Commodore, and Ruby is voting with Captain Cadillac, wasn't it, Ruby?
Yes. No, under supervision.
Under supervision. My apologies. You were going around Captain Cadillac. Yeah, under supervision for the Twisters. Davies. Right, we got next place race due off at 3 o'clock. It's the race that has been moved onto ITV due to the cross country being cancelled. Mullenbeg. And it's great to see Milton Harris back on these shores. At least I think he is. He had a bad illness away from home. I think he's back. He's better. He trains Mullenbeg and it's the 11-4 favour for Johnny Burke. Punctuation, Fergal O'Brien is 9-2, 5-1. Any harm in asking? I'll let you guys tell our listeners the horse that he beat in a point to point. Intok Cheval.
He might not beat him again.
I don't know. You never know. He's the only one. He's the only one to beat him. He's just got to improve about 60 to 70 pounds. Two friendly 8-1, 10-1, Le Patron or Le Patron and 11 Spar. All right, Ruby, over to you. Extra place race, four places. Where are we going?
Yeah, look, obviously, any Hammond asking, of course, did beat Constitution Hill in a point to point, but that's kind of irrelevant to where he is now. I thought he was close enough to run in on his last start and Huntingdon to win. He did hang to his left and probably would benefit from going back left-handed, and maybe at a stiffer track might also suit any Hammond asking as well. I thought the other one of interest was Dan's runner, too friendly. I thought the run behind Home Public was a good run. Home Public ran well enough behind Harry Friesmere last week. Love Envoy. At Sandown, which wasn't bad form. So I have it between the two of them. One is 8-1. Any Hammond asking is 5-1. I suppose the Etre value is probably more likely the Skelton horse, too friendly.
Yeah, it's not a Saturday though. So Skeltons win all the Saturday races. This is Friday. So that's too friendly for Ruby. Rory?
I'm with any Hammond asking here, although he's maybe not one to trust implicitly, given how he's shaped. And well, I mean, he just looked badly in need of the run at Ascot in his return, having won well at Catterick and Sedgefield off favourable marks last season. He didn't look the easiest of rides at Huntingdon, but he did finish with a fair rattle once he eventually drifted over to the stands rail. And, you know, he finished with running left. That wasn't a bad race for the track either, behind Big Boy Bobby. It was well contested, and he was beaten less than four lengths of the line, and he was going on at the finish. My first note about him that day was he must go left-handed. I didn't think he looked at all comfortable going right-handed, and obviously his wins came at tight left-handed tracks last season, and he was well beaten at Ascot in his return. So I thought he was worth one more chance going left-handed. He's certainly, on the evidence of Huntington, he's still well enough handicapped. He needs to apply himself slightly better. But at least that was a big step forward last time. And it was a career best effort, essentially, in finishing third. So you're entitled to still be fairly positive about him. And this looks a reasonable opportunity for him. Mullenbeg is a tricky, she's a difficult one to weigh up at this stage because she was a very good bumper horse last season. And then she wasn't impressive at all on her first couple of starts over hurdles. She ended up being handed a very low mark for a filly of her ability. Or a mare of her ability, I should say now. So she went into handicaps off a mark of 108, having scrambled home at Plumpton in a bad race at the end of October. She's won both starts and handicaps. She wasn't sure to win at Fakenham when her main rival fell at the second last, but she was just seemed to be just getting the better of that argument. And then she won in good style at Ludlow last time. But she's very much a speed filly for me. And although she's won a bumper here, I'm not sure she'd be as well suited to this track as she was Ludlow last time out. She's well clear on the time form ratings, and they give her a big P, but I would disagree with that. She was a filly who was ready early enough last season, was pretty precocious in bumpers. And although she's beginning to get her act together as a hurdler now, as her jumping's getting better, she's been in mares-only events so far, and I get the impression that up against slightly more experienced horses here, and up against the boys again, I can see that, you know, her jumping might become an issue again. And how well she gets up the hill is a bit of a question for me as well. But she has got herself in handicaps of a lenient mark to start with, though, which still gives her a chance under a penalty. But I would diverge in my opinion to time form on her prospects, I have to say.
Oh, given that Bill Bull is, I was going to say turning his grave, but I'm not quite there yet, is he?
Yeah. He's definitely turning in his grave. But the question is, who's making him turn in his grave? I say he wouldn't be quite so keen about the way big peas get thrown about these days.
Okay, fair enough. Big peas, small peas, Mullenbeg, not as good or not going to show as much improvement as time for him. Thing. To recap, any harm in asking for Rory, who will forever be known as the horse that beat Constitution Hill in a point-to-point, and Ruby on a price perspective going with two friendly. All right, one more race at Cheltenham on Friday to look at this, the three-miler. Dusart, the 7-4 favourite in the 3.35 for Nico de Bombal and Nicky Henderson in those Bartlett Silks. 11-2 flight deck for the John Joe O'Neill pair. Captain Morgs also 11-2, 13-2 annual Invictus. I'm getting tongue-tied over the horse I shouldn't. Indefatigable is the next one. That's the one you're supposed to get tongue-tied over. 10-1 and 12-1 at Big the Rest. Rory, give us a spin then on this one.
Well, annual Invictus made a bit of a fool of me last time. I called him a few names.
You sure did.
And rightly so, because he's a bit of a pig at times. But he's also a very good horse in his day. As I said, he broke the course record in a novice chase at Cheltenham first time out last season, and then proceeded to look very hard work in most of his subsequent starts. He was gifted a fairly easy lead in a handicap hurdle over this course and distance. Not strictly over this course and distance, at the November meeting, and proceeded to win that in good style. Although in my defence, I'd like to say that the horse I said would beat him was a non-runner that day, and I should be weighing in with same horse again, who now turns out and is 22-1. And I don't think it should be 22-1. That is Jatalui for David Maxwell and Philip Hobbs. My argument about him was that he didn't really convince as a chaser, and he still had scope as a hurdler off a mark of 138. He was £10 higher for his last run over hurdles, which came at the Cheltenham Festival in the Pertemps final when he was trying to give weight away to grade one horses. So that, you know, I thought he did pretty well in the circumstances going on again at the finish, having been poorly placed. He ran around the inside that day, which you don't really want to be doing in the Pretemps. And despite making one or two errors, he still finished eighth. He still did better than most of the UK-based horses. And his form from early in the season reads very well. Now, you've got slight concerns about the fact that he was off for a fair while after that, and he didn't really show quite the same form over fences. He ran okay, though, and the last time we saw him, he was finishing third to Quick Wave, which looks good for him now, because Quick Wave came out and absolutely bolted up on her next start at Sandown, so which came quite a long time later, obviously. But that's good form. You know, there are winners in behind there. There's one that I fancy on Saturday as well. He was sixth in that contest. It doesn't read that badly, but I think he'd be happier over hurdles. The yards come into form of late. The horse is well handicapped. And I thought that Jatalui should not be as big as he was, 25-1 in a couple of places. He's still 22s with Paddy Power. And I think
16s
now, is he?
Yeah.
Jeez. 16. I even checked that about 2 minutes before I started talking.
Yeah.
So I thought he was more like an 8 or 9 to 1 shot. And obviously, you know, once the price collapses to that, you got a bit of a question as to whether you get involved. But I thought before I did this recording, I'd have a couple of bob on him at the big prices rather than miss out
now
myself.
I wonder why he's 16th.
Well, no, I don't. I haven't backed him with Paddy Power.
We're all connected.
I've only bet him with the people who think I'm an idiot. So, you know.
Oh, cool. Nice to know who they are. Right, so Jatalui for Dave Maxwell, Philip Hobbs. Ruby?
Yeah, could see Rory's case, and quick wave. So we ran behind in Ludlow. We'd lost no offences. Obviously bolted in last Saturday at Sandown. I'm drawn to the Henderson 2-0, and I'm going to go with the outsider and Captain Morgs. I think Dusart could be a better hurdler than he was chaser. He didn't convince me he's a chaser, and obviously beat Sorry Glory at Newbury in an obvious hurdle way back when. But I thought Captain Morgs going the other way around would be of benefit. Got to within three parts, went to Call Me Lord, who was unlucky last Saturday. And I just think going back the other way, second run after a wind up, wearing cheek pieces, I thought Captain Morgs could be the one under James Bowen.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for Captain Morgs 1-2, as Ruby mentioned, for Nicky Henderson. Right, that's Cheltenham done on Friday. Now the staff at the track just have to run around and put the frost covers down and hope that we get Saturday's racing under it. That's got to be some operation, isn't it? Crikey.
That won't involve me anyway.
We know that, Ruby. You're sucking. Are you in your ITV boxes for Friday and Saturday?
I'm telling you one thing, as a short staff, I'm definitely going to miss it when they're going to put down those covers. That is torture, I'd say.
I'd say it is. Like to cover, yeah. I don't know how many square yardage or meterage is a fair, it must be a fair task. But anyway, best luck to them. They'll hopefully get them all down. We'll have racing on Saturday. Let's skip to Saturday. Let's stick with the same track. Let's go to the December Gold Cup. It is 150. It's the first of Paddy's Pick Five races on Saturday. Il Rodotto for Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden, the 4-1 favourite as we record. Sam Thomas, another man who loves a Saturday winner, 6-1 with Stolen Silver off his unseat last night. Warlord for Joe Tizard, 6-1. Frere O'Bamboo, for Venetia Williams, 7-1. Fantastic Lady then for Nicky Henderson and Nico de Bonville, 8 and 9-1 for Richard Hobson's Fugitive. Double figure odds the rest. Okay, Ruby, race number one for us on Saturday, the 150.
Yeah, I think over the Tizard horse. Warlord, I probably tipped him in the Haldon Gold Cup behind Grenadine. I thought that dropping down would trip would suit him, but I think his form reads well. Fourth Edwardstone in the Arkle, second to Miller's Bank over 2.5 at Aintree, third in the Haldon Gold Cup. I know I've beaten plenty far in all three races, but he's back into a handicap here, and I actually think the trip will suit him. I just hope Brendan Powell hangs on to him long enough.
Fair enough. I think both of you were keen on Warlord for the whole Gold Cup.
Yeah, I wasn't so keen on him after the race, I have to say.
What are your thoughts on this one then?
He probably would have been my choice on softer ground. I think Connections blamed the ground being a bit too quick at Exeter, but it's going to be quicker still at Cheltenham. Mm-hmm. And that would put me off him to some degree. I thought it was a slightly disappointing race. There's questions over all the leading fancies in this race. And I'm gonna throw a couple in at slightly bigger prices. I thought Simply the Best would run well because conditions are ideal for him. And he wasn't disgraced first time out. He'd come on for that race. He was seventh in the Paddy Power. I think this is a weaker race. And I think if he gets himself into a jumping rhythm under David Maxwell, he will run into the frame.
You are the man.
I suddenly find myself going for it. It's not a regular thing, but it just happened to be this weekend that Mr. Maxwell is riding horses that I'm happy to back with him on board.
Maybe he needs a race.
He was very good at Sandown last week, wasn't he? Knew where the winning post was. That's the most important thing.
poor Ben. Oh my God. And was he your pick? Simply the Best?
He'd be my main pick. The other one that I will throw a couple of bob on, just because I think I've got slight worries about him at the track because he gets lowered his fences. But In a race where, as I said, the majority of them was something to prove, I thought Jackamar was big at 40-1. Well, he's 33-1 with Paddy Power. 40
oh, you
to
took
one.
The 40s before you come on here.
No, I didn't take the 40s. I haven't touched Jackamar yet. But he did me a good turn last year when Danny Mullins won on him at Kent, and I napped him that day. He's been a wee bit disappointing since because, as I said, he can make mistakes. But, you know, he went up in the handicap for that and he had a couple of tough tasks. But he's back to a mark he can win off, I think. And although you need to trust his jumping, you need to hope that he gets a good round in. He's got a good man in the saddle in Johnny Burke here. I see him running a big race if his jumping holds up, and his price is a bit of an insult. So he's also worth. The thing about him is he only makes limited appeal as an each way bet because he's either going to be let down by his jumping. Or he's going to jump really well and nearly win the race. And I don't want to... I think you probably end up backing him mostly win only with enough on the place part of the bet to get your money back if he you know, finishes in the frame. But I wouldn't want to be banking on the place part, where Simply the Best is the opposite. I think he's very solid for the place, but he's probably going to find something to beat him. So that's sort of two ways to swing a cat in the race.
Very, very much so. We'll keep an eye on those two at big prices anyway. Right, the big race on Saturday, arguably, is the International Hurdle. It's a Grade 2, formerly known as the Beulah. And thank God Nicky Henderson has thrown something of a curveball by chucking in Epatante here. She's the 6-4 favourite. 7-4, I like to move it. I say that because it would have been a really bad race were she not declared. 7-2, Napper's Hill for Paul Nichols. 5-1, First Street. Nicky also signing that one. That's been backed in from 9-1. And Dennis Hogan has got Zafanian if... I think that's declared on the Friday as well, so I'm not sure if that's going to run. It might do. Pick up a bit of prize money. All right, Ruby, this race hasn't really been a brilliant race in the last few years, and this one's not great either.
It's a Grade 2, PK. And I think, like, traditionally, if you win the fight in fifth, which are Grade 1 penalty, you're going to go to Kempton at Christmas. So I'm kind of feel falls between a rock and a hard place. Like, you have First Street, who won last time up in a handicap. He won the Jerry Fielding, you've got the Great Wood winner and you have the Elite winner, and they're the kind of horses that end up in this race. So they're here, but mathematically it all points to Epitaph. She's, what is she, 5, 6, 7, or 8 pounds well in with the geldings. I think she'll be hard to beat. I think the new course will suit her really well. 2 miles and one, I think she's the one. Yeah, I'm with Epitaph.
Lovely. Ruby's on the jolly. Rory?
Yeah, I didn't like it at all from a betting perspective. Ruby's spot on. Epatante, it's set up for her. Everything else in the race, including Zafanian and having to give her weight, and even a repeat of what people thought was a disappointing run in the Fighting Fifth would nearly be good enough to win this. I couldn't back her though because she does a bit too much wrong these days for me. She took a bit of a took a hold at Newcastle, and she's just not as fluent as her hurdles as she used to be, and that's the issue I think you get with hurdlers as they get older. Very few of them get quicker and slicker at the hurdles, and she, you know, if you compared what she was doing to her hurdles to what Constitution was doing to his hurdles in the straight, they were chalk and cheese, and I don't really want to be backing a horse at short odds who's jumping I don't trust. But at the same time, I'm not sure. I'd give First Street a chance of this, you know, if he'd had more of a break. I think this probably comes a bit too soon after the Jerry Fielding. And Nicky Henderson said after the race, he said, normally I'd run this horse in the Christmas hurdle, but that's where Constitution Hill's going. So we've got to go somewhere else. Maybe we'll go international, but it comes very soon. And this is the only option for the horse, really. You don't know if a race comes too soon until you run a horse in it. Yeah. You know, they don't usually give you the signs at home that they don't want to go, but...
Fancy it'll come better for Epatante than it will First Street. I thought he'd a way harder race in Newbury than she had in Newcastle.
That would worry me. I think he's going the right way, First Street, and I'm not against him in the future, but I wouldn't want to be backing him 2 weeks on from what was a pretty tough race, as you say. So for that reason, I'm out.
Are we on Dragon's Den now? Could I present you with my idea?
Yeah, absolutely. Does it involve making racecourses
under soil heating?
Under soil heating, anything for the sun?
You
definitely need something for the low sun for me to buy into this.
If it's not one thing, it's the other. But we don't talk a huge amount of politics in this podcast. We hopefully just talk winners. Right, so Epatante for Ruby and Rory, a watching brief. First Street, an interesting one though, nonetheless. And has been well backed. As I said, he's now 5-1, having been nines earlier on in the week. We have got the Albert Bartlett Trial or the Bristol Novice Hurdle, 3 miles, Grade 2. Outlaw Peter, due up at 3 o'clock, is the 6-4 favourite for Nichols and Cobden. We've all been caught. Indeed, we have. Also 6-4, so joint favourite, I should say, for the Twist and Davies team. Tomas Moore for Dave Pipe is 4-1. Then Grand Soir, 6-1 for John McConnell, who of course does so well with his Raiders. And the rest don't count. They're triple figure odds. Right, straight back to you, Rory. 4-horse race, apparently.
And it might be a 3-horse race as well. But yeah, 4-4 with any chance on paper. And not an easy one to call either. Mr. Hickey is ducking Outlaw Peter, who's as big as 15-8 elsewhere. I'm not sure he'll start favourite here, but he is the one I like most. I don't quite like him enough to be steaming in at 6-4, because I think you'll be getting nearer 2-1 on the day. Our friends at Time Form are keen, and we've all been caught, and I can see that attracting a bit of cash on the day. And Tomas Moore.
I'm just going on Moore being the Irish spelling.
Absolutely, yeah. If it had an E on it, you'd be...
But,
Yeah, saying it differently.
But there's a H in Thomas, so I'm quite confused now.
Well, yeah, but he's by Dylan Thomas, you see. So you've got your duty bound to use the sire's name.
That classic Welsh Irish mix.
I heard Michael Lusty Beg. So, you know, Beg and Moore.
Lovely.
Yeah, but they're both promising sorts. And I think the fact that Thomas Moore, and we've all been caught are unexposed means that they might attract a bit of the cash on the day. Outlaw Peter's got a lot more experience. He's a second season novice, and he was beaten in the Persian War at Chepstow. I thought he ran very well that day. And although he was beating vastly inferior opposition at Exeter last time out as a whole, I thought that was an impressive performance. He's won by 19 lengths from Sporting Ace, with the runner-up 41 lengths clear of the only other finisher in a race where most of them struggled to maintain the pace at a stiff track. But Sporting Ace came out and ran very well, I thought, on his handicap debut after that. Again, he was no threat to the winner. I think the winner is a well-handicapped horse, Doc Picked Me, who won that race at Southall. He's quite a useful chaser, and he was on a lenient handicap mark over hurdles. And they were miles clear. They were 26 lengths clear off the third that day. So I thought a Sporting Ace was proving himself to be on a fair mark of 116. And if you extrapolate that, I think Outlaw Peter looks like he might just have a little bit of a hand on these. But on the ratings, the other two surely have to attract support. So I think Outlaw Peter is probably the one that's a little bit weak on the day. But I do think his form is very solid. And I think he's probably still going forward as well. So he would just be my pick. But as I said, it looks like a sort of 2-1 each of three type market. And therefore, I wouldn't be backing him at 6-4. But don't be concerned if he drifts. I think he has to drift on the shape of the race and the ratings.
Yeah, we've seen some very significant drifts for some of these big races as well. So, yeah, market can change a lot between Thursday and Saturday. Ruby, your thoughts?
I like Outlaw Peter as well. I thought I gave my choice. I moved on to the next one. I convinced myself so much that Outlaw Peter win had already moved on. We've all been caught. Didn't jump great on his debut. I can see why Tyne Thomas flagging him up behind Hermes Allen, but there's only one winner in that race from a long way, and Music Drive and Briscoe don't do much for me. And I just think Outlaw Peter got done for fit. Outlaw Pete, even just Peter, just got done Peter. For fitness at Chepstow and improved on an Exeter. I think he'll win.
There is an Outlaw Pete, is there?
There was an Outlaw Pete. I think Richard Guest trained.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that horse. All right, yeah. All right, two votes sort of kind of for Outlaw Peter there in the 3 o'clock. 3:35 is the closer on the card. It's also an ITV. And it features a mare who the two lads tipped up taking on another Nicky Henderson horse two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago. And she didn't get very far. Well, the horse kept going, but unfortunately got rid of the jockey. Theatre Glory, 5-2 favourite. And Nico de Bonville back on board this time. Lady Adair for Harry Fry's 4-1, as is Nina the Terrier for Alan King. It's 9-2 Martello Sky. Indefatigable. We've talked about her already on the pod. That means that she's double declared, or at least entered. Yeah, she's double declared, Indefatigable. 9-1 I Spy Deep in 20s bar. All right, Ruby, Theatre Glory, we back in again?
I didn't tip Theatre Glory last time. Rory did. I went for the winner, first straight.
My apologies.
Rub it in.
Yeah, just rub it in there. And I actually am going for a different one. I'm going back for Martello Sky. She's only a 6-year-old. She won this race last year off a mark of 140 when she beat Indefatigable. She's on the very same mark. Don't know what happened during Kempton. I'll forgive her that. Thought she ran well. It might have been behind Molly's Ollie's wishes. And I'm Martello Sky for me.
Martello Sky. Sorry, Ruby. I thought you tipped her. I thought it was a double. No, it was don't a double
worry,
vote.
Don't worry, PK. If you're wrong, I'll let you know.
Are you well aware, Rory?
I do fear Martello Sky. It's remarkable that she's still in a mark of 140, given that she's not really gone backwards since that. She wasn't at her very best.
I thought the very same, Rory. That's what was. I couldn't believe she was on the same mark.
Yeah. So, her run since that, obviously she probably didn't have to do any better to win a listed race in the mud here with one or two disappointments on her next start. But the run at Weatherby is the one you judge her on, and she seemed as good as ever there. So her handicap mark is lenient enough. She's definitely a danger to Theatre Glory. The reason I'd be with Theatre Glory here is I think that the likely good ground will suit her better. She's been campaigned primarily on good and good to soft ground. And I thought Nathan Brennan would like to have the race back the way he got unseated last time. And she gets a second chance,
I'd
obviously.
Say he would. Most lads to get unseated like that would love another go. But unfortunately, it happens to all of us.
Indeed.
I jumped the fence in Ace one day, Rory, before that.
How'd it go? Yeah.
Never recommend it.
I think Rory got it in the nutshell, PK.
Yeah, so I'm happy to give Theatre Gloria another chance. Unfortunately, Nathan Brennan doesn't get his other chance with Nicola de Boinville back on board. He's unbeaten on her. He was on board when she won her bumper and then on her hurdles debut. And I completely understand why Nathan Brennan was on, because he won on her at Kelso when there were other meetings on, and he was given a chance to take the £7 off her back last time. So, I mean, she's effectively £7 higher, but Sam, I don't think Nico will get caught out in quite the same way. And on good ground, I think that just gives her the edge. If it was softer, I'd be with Martello Sky.
Okay. All right. So keep an eye out for
just
Martello.
One note before we go away from Cheltenham.
Mm-hmm.
Ground that has had the covers down for a couple of days.
Gets a bit sweaty.
Yes. And dead.
Okay.
The moisture's not getting out. Yep. And it does make it tacky. So in a roundabout way, it may not be as good as you think.
Okay. So would we, okay. Okay.
Just to factor in, I can't really explain it, but just from riding on it, ground that had covers on always rides dead.
All right. That's interesting. Right. So don't rule out horses who do like that little bit of ease anyway, rather than complete quick ground horses.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Let's go to Doncaster, folks. Let's hope it's on. We've got a few races live on ITV, including the Summit Juvenile Hurdle, in which there's Irish representation through Joseph O'Brien's Nuzret, or Nuzray, the 11-8 favourite as we record in the Simon Munir Isaac Suede colours. Scriptwriter, continuing a Ballydoyle or a Coolmore theme, I suppose, with this X8 O'Brien trained horse, who Milton Harris doing well. 2-1, 9-1 then, and bigger the rest. So, Ruby, Juvenile Hurdle, Joseph sending it over. Looks like a good bit of placing.
It does, and Nuzray was quite impressive at Punchestown, but I think it was an ordinary race when he beat Morning Soldier. I was with Scriptwriter in Cheltenham when he won, and I'm with Scriptwriter again, and I even think Doncaster could suit Scriptwriter better than Cheltenham did. He was a higher rated flat horse than Nuzray, and even let the handicapper be £6 wrong, he's still higher than Nuzray.
Well, yeah, I remember you tipped him up, it was a nice price too at Cheltenham last time. Rory?
I'd imagine Scriptwriter might go to Cheltenham.
For the
Triumph Hurdle trial. Instead of this, the pair of them clash, and obviously with both meetings under threat, it makes sense that one or two horses should be doubly declared, but Scriptwriter is, and I don't know which meeting he's... Well, I mean, given he's already won at Cheltenham, I think Milton would prefer to go to Cheltenham with him again, as he did last season with his big Triumph Hurdle hope. If he doesn't run here and the meeting goes ahead, I'd be inclined to give Mr. Freedom another chance, because he's going to be a reasonable price. He was a bit disappointing the last day behind Scriptwriter. He travelled perfectly well into the race, and then he's come very, very wide and just sort of checked a little bit at the last hurdle and didn't find much up the hill. But on his previous starts, he'd finished very strongly. I know those are, you know, Fontwell and Plumpton are not quite the same sort of thing, but you're up the hill at Fontwell, and he sort of powered away from his rivals there. He would have won at Wetherby, as I said when we were talking about the previous race, but for essentially being forced out at the second last. And I don't think he did himself justice at Cheltenham, even though he wasn't entirely disgraced. So given that he's now been unplaced and run out in his last two starts, I think they might let him go off a bigger price than he should. I'm not mad to be having a big bet on him, but I think he might just represent a little bit of value if Scriptwriter goes elsewhere.
Right, let's give you here. Here's the update on this race and the Cheltenham race, due off very similar race at 12:05. There are no less than 6 horses double declared. 6.
Nuzret as well, isn't he?
Yeah, but obviously you do have to define which is your first preference. Nuzret is his first preference is Doncaster, but pretty much who have we got? So we've got I have a voice. First prep is Doncaster and Cheltenham. So is Medjaf. So is Nuzret, as you mentioned. So is Planet Legend, Scriptwriter, and the Churchill Lad. And I have a voice, Medjaf, Nuzret, Planet Legend, Scriptwriter, and Churchill Lad. According to the Racing Post, are all first preference Doncaster, which is mildly surprising. Well, that's what it says.
Anyway. Yeah.
They all of them are first preference Doncaster. So all the horses, there's an 11-runner race at Cheltenham that could become a 5-runner race if Doncaster goes ahead. So that
is just basically tells you, granted, with weather, it's nice to have a second meeting, but it basically it tells you the crap of the British program, that there's two races of the very same kind on the very same day that's going to end up with 5 and 1 and 9 and the other.
If we get that, I think we'd be delighted.
Oh, you'll have non-runners because of the going on the day as well, even if we do get the going ahead. So
there we go.
Of opportunity for ducking and diving as we
stand. Oh, you'll be making headlines on Racing Post yet, Paul Nichols.
PK.
Go on.
First preference, Cheltenham. First preference, Cheltenham.
Okay.
Nusre also declared 12:05. That means his first preference is Doncaster. Planet Legend, first preference, Cheltenham. Scriptwriter, also declared. Churchill Lad, also declared.
Okay, so this is live podcasting. I was reading off the Racing Post. I don't know what you're reading.
So am I. I'm reading off the desktop site, though.
So am I.
Yeah.
So anyway, look, I'm not blind. They all say, for anyway, look, so Jesus, they'll run
should
somewhere.
Should I look at the BHA site?
Yeah.
See if do, Rory. Go on, sort this out. Right, PK, what are we having on it?
I'd say, there's, oh, God.
Is my Racing Post site better than yours?
Racing Post site.
We'll move, because this is class podcasting. We'll move on to the 240 at Doncaster, and we'll look at that before we figure this one out. 2 mile, 3 furlong handicap chase. Hopefully none of these horses are double declared. Brian Hughes, champion jockey, rides Heroic de Mold and is the 9-4 favourite just from Man Insane. Nice name, that one. 5-2, where Lily Pigeon rides 9-2 Getaway Love, Follow Light 13-2, 7-1 and bigger the rest, of which there aren't that many. All right, Ruby, give us a winner.
I thought Lily Pinchin gave Man Insane a very good ride at Huntington to win, off a mark of 110. I wouldn't be certain that one will win again with the penalty. I thought she was very good on it, for intending to God honest truth. And therefore, I thought Heroic du Malou. How did you pronounce it, PK?
It was better
than the effort I'm making, Lily.
Heroic
du Mold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for Brian Hughes, Rory.
Not a lot of love for this race. Given that Doncaster know they're going to be on telly at the weekend, the races that they served up, one where most of the runners are intended to run at Cheltenham instead, and two class fours at the end, it's a very poor show for TV viewers, I have to say.
Well, they've got a grade two novice chase earlier in the card. Why is that? Is it the sun?
I'm guessing it doesn't fit in with the TV schedule, but you can move races around if needs be.
Yeah.
But they may not want to move around because of the potential for low sun. That might be the issue. Heroic de Mold is the most interesting one here. If you thought he was going to improve for the Newcastle run where he shaped best, but just got caught close home. The interesting thing about him was when he was trained in France, he always wore a tongue tie, but didn't wear a tongue tie first time out for James Hewitt, and didn't quite get home, and still doesn't wear a tongue tie here. So that's a slight concern from me, but he looks like he's got plenty of upside as a 5-year-old with decent chase form in France. He doesn't want it too deep, unlike a few of the Frenchies, so he should do quite well here. And he makes more appeal than most. Man Insane, I would echo Ruby's point there. Similar sort of story with Getaway Love, who was Lizzie Quinlan's first winner. If you're not familiar with the name, her mother used to have the license Barbara Butterworth. Lizzie then briefly trained under a maiden name. She's married to Sean Quinlan, and she had her first winner under her married name when Getaway Love won at Catterick, I believe, last month. Now, you would say that he won that well enough that you give him a chance of following up, but he's been vulnerable off lower marks in this in the past. He was beaten off 115 at Southall, beaten 15 lengths that day, beaten further off 114 at Bangor in May. And then he won off 110. So it seemed to be a case of him taking advantage of a drop in the weights. He's back up £6 for that. Ross Chapman rides him here. I thought his chance wasn't that obvious. And it's not easy to back anything from the Richard Newland stable at the moment. He's had his problems with the yard this season. Full of Light's been disappointing of late. It's a pretty weak race, so you'd be disappointed if Heroic de Mold isn't good enough to win.
You are ruling them all out.
you can't rule them all out. But yeah, I'm just looking at the opposition to Heroic de Mold. This might just be a very good opportunity for him. If he was in a stronger race, I'd be a little bit worried about him seeing it out. But Doncaster not quite so stiff as Newcastle in the finish. And he looks like he's leniently handicapped of 110, whereas you can't really say that for many of the others in the race.
Fair enough. Couple of boats for Eric de Molde. One more race, Doncaster, the 315, a novice handicapper. Thank you very much. 11 to 4, Mayo Blanc, to continue the French names. Oh, another one, Gavroche Dallier, 11 to 4. Here's a proper name, Ewood Park. Bring you back to the days of Colin Hendry and Paul Warhurst and Ripley, is that the fellow on the wing?
Yeah.
100 to 30, 6 to 1, Watergrange Jack, Fearless Action, 7s, 8 to 1, Mr. Dealer. All right, Mr. Walsh, give us the winner.
It's an 0 to 105 novice handicap hurdle being put, as Rory has said, on terrestrial television.
Woohoo.
I'm not talking about it.
With the contract, Ruby, with the contract. Rip it up, throw it in the bin. Okay, thanks, ITV. I hope you do that same sort of analysis.
It's not ITV. That's thanks to Doncaster. Okay. That is, and I'll say it on television Saturday if it's on too. Like, it's brilliant to have horse racing on terrestrial television. But if that is as good as we can put on, we've too much for that terrestrial.
Absolutely. It has to showcase the sport, doesn't it? And I don't want to be, we don't want to be slagging off the trainers or the owners of these horses, because those are the races that are put on. You can't put a grade one horse in a class four handicap. So we don't want to be knocking the horses who are on show, but the races that are being used to showcase the track and the sport are just inadequate, I'm afraid.
Oh dear.
I agree with Rory's politically correct way of putting that.
You must have a career in it. It is a shame, because that grade two novice chase, the December novice, it's a grade two with eight runners, a novice chase with eight runners in the UK. I mean, that's a rarity on its own. That's a 12.55 on a tune to that. Rory, any thoughts on this, the 315?
I thought the interesting one was, I've moved away from the race now. You made me look at the novice chase, you see.
That's good.
Gavroche Dallier, I thought, was the interesting one, off a mark of 94. Headgear on for the first time. He's quite well bred. He didn't show an awful lot for Tomo Damara before he was picked up by Milton. But Milton knows what he's doing with his handicappers. He's got him a mark fairly quickly, and I would have thought he would improve. And again, in a race where most of them are exposed as being pretty ordinary, I thought Gavroche Dallier was the one likely improver in the race.
Lovely. I'll give you a tip. 12.55 at Doncaster. Mahler Mission for John McConnell and Daryl Jacob will win that grade too. I said it's an 8-runner race, but look at the ratings. There's more horses rated between 120 and 130 than anything else. So it's not strong by any stretch of the imagination.
Stronger race on television
It is. Okay, before Ruby throws his pen in the bin, let's go talk about Navan on Saturday, of which there is some excellent horse racing and a lot. 10 horses declared by no less than William Mullins. And a very interesting one at the 12 o'clock, Ruby. Empire, well, I say it's interesting. I've never seen it. No one's seen it, bar those at the yard and those who bought it. And then Simon Muir Colours entered in the Paddy Power Future Novice Grade 1 at the Christmas Festival at Nepperstown, makes his hurdling debut.
Yeah, and Willie Mullins probably has quite a few entries in that, PK. As he always says, if they go and win a maiden and they're not in that, we look rather stupid. So it is in there. And it does go nicely at home. Jumps well. It's 4-year-old only. Navin should suit, won a QPS race at Nance. And yeah, lots to like about him.
Lots to like about him. A pass, rather. The second main hurdle over 2.5 miles, 3 in it. Madman's Game, Paul Townend's ridden. Hacksaw for Danny Mullins and Clark Kent for Sean O'Keefe. 3 in it.
You'd have to think Paul has gone right. Won a bumper here last year when he beat Landrick, who was after winning twice. He seems to be in good form at home. He's a good jumper. Clark Kemp's a big stayer. Navin 2.5 in suit. Hacksaw's probably a bit quicker, but I would have thought Paul is on the right one.
Fair enough. The first of two Grade B handicap chases is the Fox Rock in Navin.
Stones and Roses. Yeah. Probably wants further. The one to be on, if he's over his fall and punches down last time out, is probably Hollowed Star.
Fair enough. Paddy's Pick 5 race number 2 will be the Beginner's Chase. And Fran Berry be delighted because Flame Bear has been declared 1 of 2 for Willie. Ramilliez also there.
Yeah, Ramilliez is a fine big horse, but Flame Bear has been working really well at home. Has schooled well. He looks to be an exciting individual. Only found statement 2 good as a novice hurdler, having been unlucky behind Braun in a maiden hurdle at Nace. So yeah, I would think Flame Bear journey with me. To me, wasn't overly impressive at going last time out, so I would be with Flame Bearer most definitely.
Fran hasn't backed for the Turners. Can you reveal now that is the correct race?
You're having a laugh, yeah.
Always.
Fran hasn't backed for the Turners. Good man, Fran. Second guessing Willie Mullins.
He went down there for the Sport and Life for the Willie Mullins Stable Tour, and he saw him. That was it. He backed him for the Turners. The second of the two Paddy's Pick Five races at Navan on Saturday is the 2:46 Grade B Handicap Hurdle Maze Runner Bell Metal. Tell us about this. I'm assuming young jockey S. Cleary Farrell rides Bell Metal.
Sean Cleary Farrell is Sean Cleary, whose father Sean unfortunately was killed at Galway many years ago, just before Sean was born. So Sean was an apprentice to Willie. He's got to grown a bit, so he rides over jumps now, claims 7 off Bell Metal. Softer the ground, the better the chance Bell Metal will have. She wants it up to her knees. Thought a few interesting ones in here. A couple of them were chasers. I thought Bally Shannon's Rose run behind Dal Sheeta gave her a chance. And I think my dad's any second now, second the Grand National off 159 is in here off 136.
Would it not need further? Is it happy enough over this distance?
How far is it?
I assume it's 3 mile, is it?
It's 3 miles and one.
but like Grand National,
don't get much further than that over hurdles.
I know you don't, but you still went need for it.
Sure, he'd win over 2 miles, wouldn't he?
He did. He beat Castlegrace Paddy over 2 miles in Navan in March 21.
Fair enough. Back to file, the Willie Mullins bumper horse and JP Silks.
Goes really well, fact of file. But Gordon has one in there, and Gordon came out on top in bumpers last weekend, didn't he?
He came out top most races by the old short head. By the old short head in the novice. That was very impressed with Marine National. Okay, right, that's an Avon covered. €75,000 in the pot for Paddy's Pick Five this weekend, free to play. Going to rattle through the races, get a selection from each of you very quickly. The 150 at Cheltenham, Ruby Walsh, cast your mind back. You tipped up a horse in this race that I think is going to be close to favouritism.
No, not Epitaph.
But you will be tipping her later. Yes, yeah.
Warlord, was it?
That's it. It's Warlord. Very good. Warlord in the 150. In the 211 at Navan, that is, you've already mentioned, a very interesting newcomer ex-Pat Doyle-trained horse who runs on that.
Flamebearer.
Excellent. The 246 at Navan, you're ruling out the two William Mullins horses. So
I'm not ruling them out. I just think any second now off 136 is well in.
Excellent. The 3 o'clock. I'm actually sticking with poor Rory. You didn't fancy anything at 3 o'clock either. So it's great to have you here, Rory. The 3 o'clock.
That's nice to be here.
Now you can tip up in the 3 o'clock at Cheltenham on Saturday, Ruby. What was your fancy in that?
Outlaw Peter.
Thank you very much.
I fancied that as well, but you could have come to me for that.
You didn't want
to back it, did you?
Yeah, exactly. You were kind of humming it.
They were your exact words, Rory. I was listening.
I will give you this one, the 3:35 at Cheltenham, Rory. You can have that one.
Martello's guy got 1.5 points, but I went for Theatre Glory.
You did.
If the ground doesn't get too sweaty under the covers.
Oh, well, God forbid. We don't want sweaty ground. That's Paddy's Pick Five, $75,000 of the pot. Those are the lads, mainly Ruby selections. Best of luck. It's free to play. Okay, right. We're going to have a quick few guesses as to who's going to run at Sunday at Cheltenham at the weekend at Punchestown. Hopefully goes ahead. If it doesn't, there's a good chance it'll go ahead early next week, maybe Tuesday. So fingers crossed, we will get to see the mighty Galopin des Champs. And let's start talking about him, Ruby. How is he?
He's in great form. He's going really well. His work was good last Tuesday morning. So fingers crossed, trip suits, track shoot suits. Really be hard to beat. It's no walkover. There's a couple of decent ones in there that are going to run, that being Fakir Dudari and Fury Road. I imagine Starter will join him. And I imagine so will Hotong Kalour, who didn't come to Cheltenham this weekend. So, decent race. But look, if he's going to start in the road to being a Gold Cup horse, he's a rating of 172. He'd be hoping he can win here.
Yeah, and this was always, I know Willie threw in the entry for the King George, but as he said afterwards, it's like, that's just an entry. And this is probably
as far as I'm concerned, that's just an entry.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
Is that what he said, wasn't it?
I think it was something along those lines. I'd love to be an owner paying those entry fees down there. Had you any angle into this race, Rory?
I have no particular angle into it, I'm afraid, no.
Is he going to win the Gold Cup then, Rory?
The Gold Cup's a long way away yet.
Yeah, but
he may well. But yeah, he's the most exciting. He's the most exciting horse in the
just the while you're at it. So is he still in the King George Galloping Jump?
No, he came out to the last stage.
He was going leaving him in because the theory was supposing the John Durkin is called off and they don't reschedule.
Oh dear!
Then
you get to Christmas, and by the way, Leopardstown is the same fate. How stupid do we look if he's not in the King George? Now, I don't know why he took him out, because when I left the office at 4 minutes to 12, he was staying in. We will ask your cousin, PK.
Oh, we will.
Did she take him out? Was it her fault? Mm-hmm. Did she take him out? But that is why he puts horses in, and that is why he leaves horses in. Because
maybe they hadn't asked him about it.
Must not be not.
Yeah. If they hadn't asked him about the King George, he might have kept him in.
Yeah.
I'll text Grania. See if she was the one who took him out. But anyway, he's not running the King George. Fingers crossed, they'll run the John Gurt at some stage. If it's not Sunday, hopefully early next week. Other horses to watch out for over the card. We'll appreciate it. Flame Bear is also in the Sunday. So he's probably
I'd imagine Appreciate is going to punch his hand. Flame Bear went to
goes to Navin.
Navin, you would have thought. Willie has a few more in there. Hador is in, isn't he? Yeah.
Yes. Hador, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if both Hador and Appreciate it went there.
Fair enough. Yeah, that could be a cracking race. Cork and Ergamine, obviously, we're looking forward to seeing him back in the early way.
Yeah, looking forward to him. Obviously won the race last year. You'd have to think he would be hard to beat again, but I did think the best race in Cork could be the Mayor's Novice Chase.
Yeah, looks cracking.
Bory Devassi, Dino Blue and Impervious. Chuck in Rosie's Hollow as well, and I wouldn't rule out the four-year-old Instead. I think that can be the best race competition-wise on the day.
Yeah, that four-year-old allowance at this stage of the season for these fillies, like we saw huge. Gordon's horse, what was it?
Riviera Detel.
Yeah. Like that Instead, what's she been like going home? Because she's still very inexperienced, but that is a huge...
She's only getting six off Rosie's Hollow there.
Okay.
But where you get the advantage there, PK, is getting the weight for age and the mares
are open
beginners. Yeah, okay, right. So, keep an eye out.
What do you make of that race then, Ruby? I thought it looked a cracker on paper as well.
It does look a cracker on paper. I think Allegory is a huge future. I thought Tino Blue was very good, Rory.
I thought she was very brave at her fences.
So did I.
Maybe slightly too brave, but she certainly has the right attitude for it.
I'd agree. I just think she'll take a fair bit of following around Cork again.
Gentlemen, unless there's any other horse you want to talk about, I think we've covered them all.
Rory. I was going to mention, because we did have the 115 down as...
Yeah, I had it down, the Stairs, Grade 3 Stairs.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of price Mumbai Park is going to be there, but he didn't get... he didn't get tremendous rave reviews for winning at Punchestown last time, but I think his form's very, very good, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Even his form, he was beaten.
The form at Galway has worked out really well, yeah.
Yeah.
What I say is, it nearly worked out very well.
And his form and his bumper and Gorham behind Cadenisi Star has worked out as well. So,
yeah. And you can't knock his pedigree at all. So I think all he did was flash his tail once in the finish at Punchestown, and that's the, I don't want to be having a good time for him several times here, but you read it and it says, flash his tail close home, again, give questions about his resolution or something. He gets in the comment. I thought he did very, very little wrong there at all. I thought that was a very good performance on paper. And if people field against him on the basis that he gets a squiggle for his run there, I'd be very happy to be with him.
You know, time form are under the Flutter umbrella, yeah, Rory? You're aware of that?
No. Listen, I'm time form. I'm very happy to receive constructive criticism, and I've been paying good money to time form for many years, and I've got no intention of stopping.
But
every now and again, you'll see a comment that you disagree with, and it gives you an angle into betting. You know, where you find that you're always agreeing with time form, and the odds compilers are also subscribing to time form and agreeing as well. Where exactly is your angle to have a bet? Whereas sometimes you will disagree, and you think, well, if this affects the betting, then I might step in. So that's not meant to be a dig at time form as such. I just think he did a lot more right than he did a lot wrong at Punchestown. And he's
Rory that was having to go at Doncaster.
Well, political Rory is back, unfortunately. Right, listen, gentlemen, give us your best bet of the weekend. I'll do a little bit of waffling so you can recap in your thoughts. Reminder, pick five.
Oh, I have mine.
Okay, come on, Ruby. 6-75 grand. Just a reminder, free tickets, though. Don't forget, Leopardstown, December 27th, aka Paddy Power Chase Day. All you got to do is quote tweet any tweets about the show and hashtag FTHM. Say something nice and you're in the hat. Right, Ruby, best bet of the weekend?
Martello Sky.
Lovely, Martello Sky, the mayor, in the
last in Cheltenham on Saturday.
3:35 then. It's the last Cheltenham Saturday. Thank you. And Rory?
Well, it's difficult to know which David Maxwell horse to be with. But given it's a weekend podcast, I should probably pick one on the Saturday.
Yeah.
I'll go Simply the Bets each way in the December Gold Cup.
They play a bit of Tina when walking in, damn. That'd be great if someone has the PA sorted. Gentlemen, I'm going to say my goodbye to you for the year because I'm effing off on my holidays. So I won't be back next year. Yeah, I'm going to Australia. Yeah. There's no cold snap down there, lads. It's going to be absolutely glorious.
How long are you going for?
A few weeks. You don't
stop off in London on the way, do you?
I absolutely don't. Do you know where I stop? Qatar. Is there anything going on there?
There you go.
Is there anything going on there? Two or three days before the World Cup final? I'll see if we can get a delayed flight back down. It's probably unlikely. So unfortunately for you, actually, you're better off. I think Tom Nugent and Paddy Power may be around for the next few weeks. Drafted in.
Sift your hands.
Frank Hickey might be back next week, I believe, as well. Ruby, you're going to take a break. So I believe Frank Hickey's lined up, Rory, so you can get all those jibes ready. Yourself. Listen, lads, have a great Christmas. Have a great year.
And you, PK.
Thank you.
Thanks for all your help.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Thanks very much, Ruby. Thank you. Bye-bye.